We want to take a quick second to tell you about our friends over at Cycle CPA. I can't even express to you how important it is to have a good accountant on your side. You know you want accurate bookkeeping and financial statements every month. Instead, you're often left with limited time to focus on the accounting side of your business and no reports to show for it. At Cycle CPA, the landscaping accountants, they not only handle the bookkeeping, but also provide landscape industry benchmarking, job costing, financials by service line, advisory meetings, and much more. Cycle CPA has a team of landscaping accountants available to provide anything from bookkeeping to CFO services. Visit cyclecpa.com and for $100 off, mention the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast. Welcome back to the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast. Before we get started today, we just wanted to let you guys know that we are going to have some pretty cool resources coming out for you all. Okay, how do I want to say this? I think we've talked about it. If you follow us on social media, we have talked about this on social media, but I don't know that we have addressed it here on the podcast. I can't remember. I can't always remember. But anyway, I will quit rambling. What we have for you guys available to purchase is postcards for your direct marketing needs, because they're kind of one of those like tried and true. We can get into debates. Some people, I don't want to get in too deep of a rabbit hole because I don't want to take up too much time about that. We can talk about that on another time on the direct mailers. Are they worth it? Are they not worth it? But for those of you that they do work for, we have got some that are already made for you all, because a lot of times the biggest struggle is knowing what to say, knowing what to put on them.
Yeah, I've talked to people that said, you know, they went to like whatever, Vistaprint, and they tried to, you know, make their own, and they just couldn't come up with the words, didn't know what to say or what to put on there.
Yeah, so these are done, written for you, professional copywriting, professional setup, everything. I'm just getting so excited. It's hard to describe, because one of the things that we have done for you all is provide, if you purchase these postcards, it's going to come with three sets of like the headlines, like the main hook that goes on the postcard, the first thing that people see when they pick them up. Because one of the mistakes people make is they send out a blast of these postcards one time and it didn't work. And they're like, well, that was crap and I wasted my money.
Yep.
But one of the things we encourage people to do is send them out more than once, because likely the people you're sending them to have never heard of you before, and this might be their first time even seeing you. Maybe they don't need anything right now. They might need something later. But what a lot of people do, that when they do send them out again, they send the same postcard. And this has happened to us. We have received postcard mailers from the local auto shop that they just keep sending the same one.
Yeah.
That's why you're going to be basically getting three postcards in one, because these are going to be, you're going to be able to edit them.
Yep.
So you can send them out with the first headline, the first set the first time, second set the next one. You can swap out the pictures that are going to be in these. They're going to be really customizable to your own business. And it's all done in Canva, which if you've not heard of Canva, there's a free version online, free, easy to use. But we didn't want to do just stock, like, I'm sorry, you're stuck with these words and you're stuck with these headlines and you can't change the pictures, because that's real generic. We want you to make these stand out to your business.
Well, the cool thing is in Canva, say you put your logo in there. Canva like pulls the color scheme that's out of your logo, and then you can go in and click the different parts of the thing can make it customized exactly for you.
Yeah, please don't panic if you've never used Canva before. It will come with instructions on how to do this. But the moral of the story is they're going to be super customizable. So nobody's going to know. They're not going to be like, oh, they just bought this generic, mm-hmm. you know, like already done for you. Nope. When you're sending these out to people, especially if you send them out more than once, you can customize them. They're not going to think that you just like have this generic postcard like everybody else has. They're going to be like, oh, wow, they're sending out these really high quality, really nice custom postcards.
Yeah. So they're coming out. They'll be out here hopefully very soon. We don't have a total release date yet. We're still getting a couple
of
details together.
Keep an eye on our social media and on our website. We'll have it all out on there. But like Scott said, getting the final details done.
Yeah. So very excited to have these out there.
All right. Everybody. So what are we going to walk? What are we going to walk about today?
We are going to be kind of walking about it virtually.
Just go ahead. I'll sit here and be quiet.
Today we are going to be talking about what to do when you get out to perform an estimate. I know springtime's coming around here. Some of us are already starting an estimate. Some are going to be going out very soon to start doing estimates.
Like when you actually get to the customer's house or potential customer's house.
So we're going to set some things up here. we're going to set up that you've already pre-qualified the customer. You've gone through a list of questions, make sure they're a valid customer, that you can do what they want you to do.
Their budget's $4.50.
Yes, you've done all that stuff. The next thing after you kind of done that, before you go out there, you should have sent some emails to them letting them know about, you know, what you do, what your process is, and all that great stuff.
So that's all done already. Setting the scene here.
So we're going to set it up as you're actually going out to the job site. We're going to say it's a residential customer. You're going to go out there and you're going to do an estimate for them. So I'm going to walk you through the process that I have taken myself that's really helped me, and take you through the whole process, because everything that we do and everything we teach is essentially a process. And when you start really looking at these things, you can figure out how to improve different things and change things to make it better, because you always should be improving the sales process every step of the way. So we've kind of gone through and broke things down into different categories to make it easy for you. And actually, I've been thinking about making an actual video of myself going out and actually doing this. So this will probably be coming out this summer. I'll have somebody out there videotaping me, and I'll actually perform an actual estimate and just kind of walk you through so you can see exactly what you should be doing. I know most of us understand some of this stuff, but there's some basic stuff that I see and I've come across personally. I've coaching people that they are not doing. And to me, it honestly scares away some people, I feel, and it's hurting their business because they're not doing some of these basic skills. So,
all right, again, what do you got?
We've already talked to the customer. They're pre-qualified. So we're going to show up. We're going to park out front. I don't personally park in the driveway. I park out on the street unless they personally tell me to park in the thing. My concern is
they live out in the country. Well, now yes. You can't always park in the street. Sorry.
But our area is all residential, very, you know, very nice neighborhood. So I usually generally do not park on the side of their driveway. So I park there.
Why don't you park in the driveway in case they need to get out?
If your truck, for whatever reason, leaks oil or something stupid like happens, I just don't generally do it unless I'm specifically told, or there's absolutely nowhere to park and you have no choice. But in most cases, I park out on the street. So then before I'm stepping out of my truck, I'm making sure I smell good. I make sure I look presentable. Like, even before I do that, I've literally changed. If I've been working all day, I've changed and put on some nicer clothes, changed shirt, put some cologne on or whatever it is. I want to look professional to these people. I'm not saying you have to go out there in a suit and tie, but you want to look presentable. You won't look like, you're not going in torn jeans and whatever, because we want to make a good first impression. This is when people say, you have to express your value to the customer and show how you're different. This is one easy way you can do to show you're different than everybody else out there. You know, we want to be different than that Chuck in the truck. So again, look at yourself, make sure you look good, make sure you look presentable. And then I'm grabbing an iPad, or I'm grabbing picture book, or I'm grabbing brochures, whatever it is, doesn't matter. We're not going to get into the particulars of what project is, but I'm grabbing some information I could take with me to show that customer, to talk about stuff that we've done in the past, or what our capabilities are, or different colors, you know, whatever it is.
Because visual representation is helpful?
Absolutely, yes. They need to see this kind of stuff. So if I'm doing a brick patio job, I'm going to have a brochure with the brick styles in there. If I can have them in my truck, sometimes we'll have samples, kits. You can take that out with the customer. That's even better.
Like, I'm a very visual person, mm-hmm. So I would prefer that, because even if you explain to me the design, I will have a hard time seeing it in my head. But if you could show me something similar, at least, even if you can't show me the exact thing, if you can show me something similar, I will have an easier time picturing it in my head.
Yeah. So I'm gathering all that stuff, and then I'm walking up to the front door. I always go to the front door. I walk on the sidewalk. I don't cut through the grass. I'm going to the driveway, to the sidewalk, to the house. And I, ring the doorbell and I step back. I step back, wait for them to come to me. I step off the porch or off the deck or whatever, away from the door, I should say.
We had a salesman come to our door literally today, and he did the exact same thing.
Did he?
Okay. He stood far back.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to give yourself space to the customer. If you're like literally right in front of them when they answer the door, it like will scare them, and you want them to feel comfortable with you. So stepping back will
especially
make
especially as a female.
Yes.
I don't want to open the door and there's like some guy just standing right there. We're like, into the house. Yeah. He could grab me. Who knows what? Yeah.
And I guess going to this person, I didn't see him, but was he well dressed and looked professional? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, he was, I would just say, not poorly dressed. He had on jeans and like a windbreaker. with their logo on it. And so he didn't have on like khakis or anything. But he looked fine. Yeah, yes. He didn't look like that he just rolled off a job. I did not get close enough to him to smell him. So. He was selling windows and that yes. we not something that we need right now. But I did tell him, I was like, sir, like, because he was doing all the things, like he was doing it all right. And I was just very upfront. I'm like, I respect your hustle, but this is just not a service that we need right now. Or when we don't even need it in the near future. And so I was very polite about it. And he laughed. So he was okay that I respected his hustle. So anyway, go on.
So anyhow, you know, you ring a doorbell, you step away, you let them come to the door and you introduce yourself. You say, hi, I'm Scott Mulchin with South County Landscaping. Here to talk to you today about whatever the service is. And I usually extend my hand out to try to shake their hands. And I know you'll get mixed feelings on that. Some people do, some people
don't.
Personal
choice. Do it, don't do it. That's up to you.
I'm kind of old school, so I'd rather just try to shake their hands. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I've tried at least. So to me, all this is about just making the customer feel comfortable with you being there. You're not getting in their space right away. I've had this go both ways. I've had some people that will invite you in the house and they want to talk to you inside the front door, or they'll be like, 1 second, let me get my shoes on, I'll come outside. So whatever, we'll let that play out. If they invite you in, and if you don't have muddy boots or shoes, if you feel comfortable doing that, go ahead.
I think to me, that's your comfort level.
Yes. So whatever you prefer to do. And to me, like if they ask you to come in, I want to come in. If they ask me to sit down, like this is something I was told, like if they invite you in and offer you a drink or steak or whatever, you do that. Like it's you
right.
do whatever.
See, I never want anyone in my house. I would not invite
you in. It's something you have to kind of judge when you're out there. So anyhow,
yes,
we're gonna assume they're gonna have you go outside. They're gonna meet you out wherever it is to do the project. So as we're walking, I'm looking around this property. And actually, before I even stepped before I stepped out of my truck, I'm scanning the property. I'm looking for things that I can upsell. I'm looking for things and how well they even keep their place, how, anything that we could do to make it better.
And
I'm doing this before I'm stepping.
And this is like an information gathering stage, I think. Yes. It's not like, what can I upsell them all? Horns. It's more of a just getting, like you said, it's getting the vibe. Like, do they keep it pretty tidy?
Yeah.
Do they look like they've got some things that could maybe need a little this, a little that? So I just wanted to just clarify that. Yeah. It's more of just like, let's scan and get the vibe.
Trust me, I'm not like always sell. I'm not that kind of person, but I'm gathering like Kitty said.
But it's good. But so, keep your eyes open.
So now we're walking to wherever the project is. And again, I'm looking around, observing things. I'm looking to see if they have dogs, they have kids, or whatever it is. I'm trying to find something at this point to relate to that person. I want them to be comfortable with me. So I'm looking for anything that I can relate to them, or, if they are into some sports teams that are flags or, whatever it is, I'm looking around the property, scanning for everything that I can. And then I'm going to compliment them on something, like whatever it is I could find. Oh, you're into the Chicago Bears, or you have dogs, whatever it is, and try to get some information, get them talking, because friends buy from friends. You want to become their friend at this point. So again, I'm trying to find something I can relate to them on. And if I can relate to them on something, it makes it easier for me just to kind of roll off things. So that's what I'm kind of doing as I'm going through. Again, looking for things, you can compliment on. If they have a very nice house, this very nice house, love this neighborhood, I love the color of your house, whatever it is, I love the garage door, just find something there. There's always something you can find that you can relate to them on. So as I'm doing this, we're walking up, I might be finding out some information. It depends on obviously the type of project, but I'm going to find out some information if they have kids. I'm finding out if they entertain a lot. What's the purpose of why are you there? Are you there just to fix a drainage issue? Or are you there to put a patio in, a water feature, something for them to enjoy? Whatever it is, I'm trying to gather as much information and I want them to do as much talking as possible. I'm asking questions. I'm asking open-ended questions. I'm not asking simple yes or no questions most of the time. I'm trying to get them to talk because, again, that's the most important thing. And as they're talking, I'm taking notes. Even if it's just like notes I don't need, but I'm taking notes. It looks very good to that customer. And they're like, oh, they're taking notes.
Well, it shows you're paying attention.
Yes. Like to me, it's like when if you go to a restaurant and the person's taking your order and they're not writing things down and you're thinking in the head, are they going to remember this?
Well, I'm always torn. I'm always number one, very impressed that are going to remember it. But then I'm always slightly panicked. I'm going to get something weird.
Exactly.
So I'm torn.
Again, it's about making them feel comfortable. So yeah. I'm taking notes. But the biggest thing that I want you to take away from this too is, on the thing that I'm taking notes on, it is essentially a checklist. I have a checklist that I've already made up about whatever that type of project is. So it's a patio, it's a water feature. I have a thing of notes.
Do you have that like in your clipboard or whatever of things you're going to ask about? Or
everything I'm going to ask about that type of project. You know, again, if it's a patio, I'm asking them, how many people do they entertain? You know, how big of a party do they have out here? Or you know, is it whatever it is? Because they want you to design.
Well, do you want a dance floor or do you want like a warm and cozy sit and have coffee spot? Like there's different.
Exactly.
It's different. Yeah. So what are you going
to
do?
You know, if it's a patio and they want to have an area for them to sit down with the family. Well, how big is the family? What kind of table are, you know, you're looking at? Because it depends on how big you're going to make that patio. You know, I've had people say they want a 10 by 10 patio for eating on. And they got this big table.
That's
not going to work.
Yeah.
So again, you are the professional. You have to do this stuff. But having that checklist there makes things so much easier.
That way you don't forget.
Yes. And that's the biggest thing because I've done it myself before. I had that checklist.
I don't trust myself.
I think I have everything
down
and I'm going walking away. I'm like, crap, I forgot to get this or I forgot to ask about this. And to me, it's a little bit embarrassing as a professional. I should have had this prepared. And I like.
We don't want to have to go back and be like, oh, hey, BT Dubs, what about this?
Yeah. So
try to get that information.
Having those checklists out is very, very important. And again, I'm still looking around at everything that's going on. You know, and this is on my checklist. I'm like, if it's a patio, I'm looking for drainage issues, making sure there's, you know, gas lines out there or there's water accessibilities or there's, you know, windows for the basements and I have to build a patio around that. Whatever it is, I'm looking for everything. And again, this is on the checklist. I'm making sure everything's tidied up. Septic fields, all that stuff.
All the questions get asked.
You don't want to be flying blind here. You want to have everything piece
don't
in there.
Don't rely on your memory.
Yeah. So then at this point, I want them to envision whatever it is that we're doing. Obviously, a drainage issue might be a little hard to envision this, but
this
you can say I'm flowing.
This is future pacing.
Yes. But
trying to get them to imagine it.
I want them to envision. I did this a lot for water features, and this is something I actually learned from like Aquascape. I'm figuring out where we're going to put this water feature, for example. And I'm literally taking my hands and saying, okay, we're going to start the waterfall here. And I'm making ripples with my hands to show them the water's coming down. Then they can start envisioning this. I've taken hoses with their permission, of course. I've laid out the hose for the size of the patio. You know, how do you think this will be? And I'm getting them because they can start seeing this at this point.
Well, I think that's especially important because some people have a hard time envisioning what does a 10 by 10 look like?
Yes.
What does a 6 by 6? Like, it's just, if you don't have a good sense of scale, then it's much easier if you just lay it out for them. And a hose doesn't mark up their yard. Like you can use marking paint, but some people might not want paint in their yard. So
and what I've done too with a hose is they'll sometimes leave that hose out, especially if both parties, you know, both, you know, the husband and wife can't be there at the same time, whatever it is. I'm trying to do that at the beginning, but if they can't be there.
Yeah. You try to get both people there from the get go, but it's not always realistic.
So if that hose is laid out, they'll sometimes leave that hose there so they can show their spouse or whoever like, hey, this is what we're looking at. You're just pulling out that vision and let them see that because it makes it so much easier for them.
We just talked about this. We're going to put new windows in our back room. And I literally said today, I'm like, we have to tape out with masking tape where these windows are going to go because I can't see it on my own. We have to put the tape on the wall. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to have no idea. You can tell me the dimensions, but I cannot scale that and put that on the wall in my head.
Yep. So after you've kind of laid things out and you kind of come to some agreements of like, yeah, this patio, whatever it is, I'm going to walk them through kind of our process. You know, if it's going to be a water feature, it's going to be a bit of a mess here. I'm letting you know this from the front. If I'm digging up a patio, this is going to be a mess.
Right.
We got to dig this up.
Nobody wants the surprise of it looks like a bomb went off.
Yes.
And when they think that you're going to be providing them this gorgeous, picturesque water feature, a little warning of it might look like a mud hole for a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of getting some of that stuff and letting them know our process, what we're going to do. I don't get into the details like we're going to dig down this deep and use this type of rock.
They don't need to know that. It's a need to know situation.
This type of pump, whatever. I'm not getting that. Now, that does depend, too, on the person that you're talking to. Again, this is something you have to judge. If you get, like, an engineering type person, they want to know those details.
Some people like the nitty-gritties.
You have to feel that and address that as it comes. But for the most part, I am not telling them all the depths and stuff like that. But I'm telling them our process, how we'll go through it. And, you know, at the end of the day, the crews are going to be, they'll leave the materials here, but we're going to pick up all our garbage, haul that away, whatever. I'm just kind of letting them know. If I have to take down a gate, you know, I saw that walking in. If I had to take down a gate, just letting them know every single thing. And this too goes back like the gate example. If they have pets, do I have to keep them back there? Do I have to make a temporary fencing
this
area?
This is very
important.
If you let my dog out, I will never hire you again. And I'm going to tell everybody that you let my dog out because I would be very upset.
We have made temporary fencing areas with like snow fencing for the dogs, just so they can have somewhere to go. So that is something that you can do, but I'm telling the customer this. And when you tell them that, like, especially the dog people, oh, we can put up a temporary fence over here for you and lead it over here. Like, they just get blown away because...
If you do anything to make my dog's life better, I will automatically love you. Yeah. And once again, then I will tell everybody all the good things that you did.
So again, it's thinking all those things. And again, having it written down, you know, if that's something you need to do, have it on your sheet. So on your checklist. So again, I'm telling them everything is going on, setting some expectations, you know, early on what's going to happen in there. Now, if I have to take any measurements at this point, I've kind of laid everything out. I'm going to give them, you know, the iPad with pictures of projects we've done. Let me step back here. One other thing I didn't mention. Before I do that, I'm going to share with them stories of projects that I've done that's something similar. And
people always like stories.
Yes. When you start telling stories of how Mrs. Smith or whoever, you know, had their patio, now their family comes over all the time because that's what they, you know, that's what they kind of mentioned, or they wanted somewhere to come sit and relax by a nice waterfall or whatever it is. You pull out what they say and you share some stories. Like, these had to be legit stories. Don't go making up things, but tell stories about this. People love stories. And again, it makes them envision this in their mind and just makes it easier to sell. So once I do that, then I'm going to start taking some measurements if I have to. I will give them an iPad. I'll give them back in the day, we used to have picture books made up.
We did.
Yeah. Like took all the
like
nice
the photo
photos.
Albums.
Yeah, we did, you know, with like, made from like Shutterfly, like I think it was. We used to have nice picture books made up just to show customers whatever.
Oh, right. Because at first we had just like the ones you go buy at Walmart where you slide the 4x6 photo into the little things.
Back in the day.
I remember having those. But then we bumped up to where you have an actual, like more like a portfolio kind of made, where it's like an actual book with your pictures that is printed on there. Yeah. So it's not like an old crusty photo
album. No, these are like nicely put together things. But nowadays you can use your iPad or tablet.
Yeah.
You know, have pictures of whatever it is, you know, pull up, have a section that's hardscapes, have pictures with water features, whatever it is you do, have those on there. If you know, you do a lot of drainage or seeding, have pictures of that. Like, they can see your process while you're taking
those
measurements.
You never know what people are going to want to see pictures of. And they might see something that sparks another project in their mind. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's important to have pictures of your team on there too. Show them in their uniforms and let them see exactly what your team looks like.
It humanizes you. Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's important to have the pictures of the work you're doing, but having that on there helps too. So I'm giving that to them. Let them look through the thing while I'm getting my measurements. I'm going through, and again, I have a checklist of all the measurements. I'm drawing it out, whatever it is. I'm going through that whole process. Now, at this point, you need, you know, depending on what you're doing, obviously, if you can get that quote right then and there, that's the best thing to you. Because at this point, you've got them excited. You shared stories with them. You got them pumped up about whatever it is. And if you can go out, sit in your truck or vehicle and say, hey, you know, Mrs. Smith, I'll be back. Give me like 15, 20 minutes. I want to run to my car. I want to put together this quote and I'll have it for you. And I can email it to you right away, whatever it is. Doing that is huge because it makes it so much easier.
You had a full little office with a printer set up in your truck.
Yeah, I had my laptop pulled over. I had a printer so I can print it off. I can email it to him, whatever it was. It just made it real easy because again, we got them all excited about this. And if you have to step away to go do the estimate.
Well, this is why, this is just a side note. When we teach people how to estimate, we have all of this in our estimates, like, so you don't forget things. Like if you are worried that if I try to put together an estimate in my truck, I'm going to mess it up. Yeah. That's why when the estimating spreadsheets that we have and when we teach people to estimate, we have that all like listed out in there so you don't forget things. That's just another like little hot tip.
Yeah, so that's what makes it easier for us to kind of go
through.
It's
back
to having
a process for everything.
Yes.
Don't rely on your brain because brains are full and cannot remember everything. Yep. Yeah, sorry.
So I'm trying to do that. If I can, I'm going to do that right away and give them, quote, hopefully sell it right then and there. If you can't, you have to step away. You have to do a design. You have to get... whatever it is.
Sure.
I understand that it happens. So let them know, what, you know, hey, Mrs. Smith, I'll get back to you. This is going to take me a few days. I have to make some phone calls to get this material, whatever it is.
Our designer is 5 days out.
Yeah, whatever it is, let them know. You have to let them know a timeline and you have to stick to it. So if you say you're going to get back to them in 2 days, you have to get back to them in two days.
Even if it's not done in the 2 days, like say your designer got sick or whatever, get a hold of them on the timeline that you promised, even if you have to say, I'm sorry, we had to push it back a couple because communicating a disappointment of, it's not done yet is better than not communicating at all and just being like, oops, sorry, here it is 2 weeks later. So just be upfront about it.
Yep. So then if you have to step away to give them the bid, shake their hand and thank them and everything else and ask them, make sure they have any questions, nothing. then you can head on out. And again, I'm walking through down the driveway, not walking across the grass, whatever. I'm being professional about it. So then, you know, after I leave, I want to have, and if you can have this set up as a process that automatically does it, but once you leave, it can send them an email later on and says, hey, thanks for meeting with me. This goes above and beyond a lot of landscape companies. So if you can have something that automates that and just gets it done for you, again, thanking him for meeting me, blah, 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 put a few things in there, that's even better. So after that, if I tell them it's going to be 2 or 3 days, there's going to be probably 3 emails going out. One thanking them for meeting with me. Another, the next day is going to be about that type of project. So if another water feature, have a customer tell a story about it, whatever it is, I'm just giving them more information. This is providing value to the customer.
Keep them excited about it.
Yes.
Because then they'll be like, ooh, my estimate's coming. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So again, now once I go present it to them, I prefer to go meet with them to present them in person if at all possible.
All the time? Or is there a price range
for that? If it's a small, a few hundred dollar job or $1,000 job, I'm probably not going to be doing that. But if it's a larger patio, bigger water feature or something, just, you know, you could feel that type of person has a lot of questions when you're out there, then I'm definitely going out there to meet with them.
Do you call and set that up ahead of time? You don't just pop in with it?
No, I always, exactly. I call them and say, okay, you know, I told them 3 days. Hey, you know, it's day two, I'm calling. Hey, we'll have this estimate finished for you like we said tomorrow. I just want to see if we can set up a time to meet. So get all that squared away. You go out there and meet
them. Did you find people like that, or were they antsy and were they like, no, just email it to me?
Both. Most of the time, especially with the design, I kind of made it mandatory. I met with them because it usually design, there's something that had to change or whatever.
Okay.
So, or bigger projects. So again, I'm trying to meet with both parties or both deciding factors on this if there's the more than one. And you're kind of doing the same thing when you meet with them again. So you're going through meeting with them and you're just shaking their hands, all that good stuff. And again, if they invite you to the house, by now, hopefully you built some level of comfort with them and you can do that, or you go all back again. Again, the whole process, we're communicating, we're asking them questions, keeping them involved, get them excited about this again, and kind of go from there. So then if you can sell the project right then and there, great. If they have to think about it, which a lot of times they do, ask them. You want to find out, what's their timeline? When do they think they're going to come to the decision? You know, is there other people bidding on this? And what's kind of your deciding factor on this? Is it price? Is it the type of material you're using? Whatever it is, try to find that. Again, we're finding as much information you can. Because they tell you, well, we're going to make a decision at the end of the week. Okay, well, do you mind if I call you, you know, Friday to see where we're at with this? And you're asking permission. Again, you're just setting yourself up as a professional. And it's a lot.
There's a line. Yeah, you don't have to be annoying about it. Because I'm one of those people who gets a little defensive. I'm like, get up out my business. If I want to go with you, I will let you know. But I'm a little bit of a brat. And so, but if somebody just asks, well, do you know when you'll make your decision by? And I would, you know, and if I was like, I'll probably know by Saturday or Sunday. And if they just asked, oh, do you mind if I follow up with you? Then that to me is not too far.
And that's where a lot of people fail is they will, okay, well, I have to make a decision about this, or I have to think about it. And a lot of landscapers just say, okay. And that's it. They leave it and they walk away essentially.
The follow up
is you have to follow up with them. So,
and yeah. So if you have some kind of CRM,
or keep track of
make
it.
A note on something. So, because once again, don't trust yourself to just remember to do this. You have to document it somewhere.
Yeah. And this goes the exact same thing if you have to just email it to them or whatever it is, or you do a Zoom meeting, whatever it is. The one thing I will share with you, they say just send it to me in the email or whatever it is, I would recommend making some kind of personalized video. There's tons of different software out there just walking through the estimate. Like Loom is a good one. That's a great one for this. You can share your screen. You can show them the estimate. Talk through exactly. They like to hear the voice. And it's a nice little personal touch that you can do. So I really, really recommend that you can send some kind of personalized video to that person if they want you to email it to them.
I just think it's a good option. And I only bring it up because a lot of houses are dual income, two working parents, and not everybody wants to schedule time in their evenings if they are busy to have the landscaper come out at 8 o'clock. Yeah. They might, but I want to throw out multiple options just to cover all the bases, I guess.
So say they want to go with you at this point, either way, if the emailing or whatever they want to go through, again, we're letting them know, okay, you know, and this is something you should tell them like during your process when the initial consultation, like, hey, we are this many weeks out, this many months out, whatever it is, let them know that early on, because that might be a deciding factor that they, I don't want to go with you because it's too far out. But again, okay, you know, hey, this is Smith, this is awesome, we're excited for this project. let's get you on the schedule today. In order for us to get you on the schedule, I need you to sign our contract. I need you to give us a down payment of whatever it is. And I'm outlining all that stuff. I'm letting them know all the steps. And that's something too that should be given in the email between the time you meet with them and everything, letting them know this, but you're just reiterating it on the site and letting them know, and then get this on the schedule from there. And just again, thanking for the job. One thing I would recommend doing before you walk away is like, hey, Mrs. Smith, you know, we're excited for this project. Can't wait to get this going on whatever date. Just one quick favor before I leave here. If we do a good job for you, would you mind leaving us a Google review? It really helps us a lot. I would really appreciate that. We'll send you a link when we're all ready for that point. How's that sound? So you're setting the expectation early on before you walk away.
Well, then
away
when you bring it up later, they're not like, well, that was out of nowhere.
Yeah. So it's just something that you can easily throw out there. Just, hey, if we do a good job, then they'll more than likely
when
do this.
When we do a good job, yeah. Not if.
Yeah. So again, we're just setting all that stuff up there. And if they still say we have to think about it, there needs to be some follow-up emails with them. There should be some phone calls in there just checking in with them. But have a process through this. And this is something that we laid out and it's for our inner circle people. We have a process that they go through.
All of this
stuff.
Big, long, exhaustive process that Scott is walking you through is actually all, we have this all documented.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we go through with our Profits Up Inner Circle folks, is because it's a lot. And so
it is. And I like trying to write this down, like, holy cow, like
it was like
39 pages, I think it was, something like that. But it's all the stuff that you need to be doing. And like, you might not even think about this stuff, but it's a lot of stuff that you have to do for this. And this is all, to me, providing that value. You know, everybody says, just shopping on price. Well, they
not
might
not everybody
be,
is shopping on price.
But
not
if
everybody.
You haven't expressed your value or you need to differentiate yourself from somebody else, doing all these steps is what's going to set you apart from the Chuck in the truck or whoever else is coming out there. So I know we went through a lot here today. Go back, re-listen to this if you have to, but it's these are the steps that you need to take.
Yeah,
to,
well, and if you found any of the things Scott mentioned that you aren't doing, don't overwhelm yourself with trying to fix all of them like today. Huh. Pick one or two, three that you're like, oh, he said that and I really like that. Implement that. And once you get that down, then pick something else and put that in. You don't have to like overhaul everything you do like tomorrow. You can just phase this all in.
Like, we didn't get into like some of the stuff, like what you say to the customer when you first shake their hand. Like, there should be something that, like, you don't need to have a word for word script, but there need to be some kind of things that you address. And these are all things that part of that
I'm
process
glad you
go
do
through.
This. I've never done an estimate or been out on one. That was never anything I did. This already sounds like a lot. So I'm glad that
it is, but you have to think about these things. And when you have the process written out and you go through it, you can practice it. You can get better with this. This is something you need to be practicing. You should be practicing knocking on the door with your spouse and saying, what did you think about this?
Well,
or neighbors or whatever.
He makes a silly, you know, this might sound silly, but through the coaching that we do, more people than I would have thought are uncomfortable with selling. And I'm kind of always like, well, what do you, like, you signed up for that. Like, if you, this, that's what the job is. And so, but it's something that you can get better at. Or I just want people to know that if you're uncomfortable with it, your only options are practice it until you're good at it or hire somebody else to do it. Those are really your only two options.
Yeah, that's exactly. And we've had some people in our programs that like, questionable, like how they got any sales because the way they talk to just me, I'm like, that's a little scary sometimes. Like it's
run the gamut. So there has to be a level of self-awareness there. Yeah. But I guess I just wanted to let people know that, especially if you're listening to this podcast and you are just starting a business or thinking about starting one, the sales is part of it. So know yourself, know, are you able to get yourself to work on this skill or not? I'm not a salesperson. I know that I literally never want to do that. So I'm never, ever going to put myself in the position where that is my job. I hire somebody else to do it. His name is Scott. And so
and like,
you just have to know
again,
this is part of it.
There's a lot other things that we didn't even cover. Like there's objections and what to say when people bring things up.
Well, we can't.
So
yeah,
there's a lot
to
this.
Can't cram it all in
the
podcast. Yeah.
But this, to me, like kind of what Katie said, you have to look at everything. You have to get better at it. And like, there's tons of different books. There's tons of different programs out there. Like this is a skill you need to be
just
learning.
Just because you find it a little bit intimidating, that's not a reason not to do it. And it's not a reason not to practice it.
Yeah.
Anybody can get better at anything that they practice.
I thought I was okay at sales. Like I knew it wasn't great. There's always room for improvement. The first time I went to a sales class, I'm like, holy cow, I suck. Like, I need to change a lot of things here. Like, it was like,
well, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons to listen to this podcast is because, honestly, you just sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. So maybe there's things you've been missing or are making really common mistakes, and you're just like, oh, well, I didn't know. But now you do know. So fix it.
So definitely reach out, you know, get in our program, get in some kind of sales coaching program, or get some books. Like there's tons of resources out there. So
books,
definitely reach
YouTube.
Out. Yeah. Just get out there, practice it. You're going to make mistakes, but just learn from those mistakes and make it better.
Well, because even in our inner circle, didn't you do some practice walkthroughs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because once again, it's you might as well practice it in a little safe environment where with people that you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So
it's always awkward. Trust me, it's awkward
Nobody
doing these types of things.
To do it, but once again, the people who succeed in life, and I tell this to our kids all the time, part of success is being willing to be uncomfortable. It's being willing to do things that are pushing you outside of your comfort zone mm-hmm. a little bit. Even though, I mean, I did already say that I never want to do sales, but that's okay. I push myself out of my comfort zone in like many other things.
Yes.
That's not something that I need to push myself out of, but it's true. Success in life is being willing to push yourself out of those comfort zones a little bit if you know it's something that you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% true. So if you guys need any help with this, feel free to reach out to us. If you have something that you're doing different, I'd love to hear it. Put it, you know, put it in the comment section. Love to see what you guys are doing.
But yeah, Scott, we have this whole entire process inside our inner circle. So mm-hmm. if you know that you need some coaching and support around that, the inner circle is always something that you can join and get that.
Yeah, we actually just had a sales coach that just came in and did a little training about this types of stuff and like habits of successful salespeople. So these are the types of things we have in our program. So if you guys are interested, feel free to reach out. On that, I appreciate you guys being here and hope you guys have a great day.
That's a wrap on another exciting episode here of the Million Dollar Landscaper Podcast. Now, thank you for joining us on this journey and thank you for being a member of our community. Remember our motto, do it dirty means just get started and not be afraid of making mistakes. We honestly believe this is one of the keys to the success in this industry and in life. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment, head over to Apple and leave us a review. Your support helps us reach more listeners and bring even more value to the show. Until next time, keep doing it dirty and grow your business to new heights.